Welcome to GovIT, a monthly podcast series from TD SYNNEX Public Sector, where we discuss the next generation of public sector IT solutions with the technology innovators driving the change. I'm your host, Tom Temin. Each month, we explore a different technology, what it is, and how it can help public sector organizations achieve their modernization goals and accomplish their missions. In this episode, we sit down with Quest Software Public Sector's Senior Technology Executive, Eric Weiss, to discuss the future of Zero Trust in the federal government. And Eric, why don't we start with a brief recap of Zero Trust, what it is, and maybe equally important, what it is not.
Yeah, that's kind of the question. And it kind of reminds me like to be or not to be. It's like, what is Zero Trust? What isn't Zero Trust? And so for me, let's kind of start with what it isn't, because I think it's easier to kind of talk about that first. And then we can kind of go into what it is. And really, it's not your father's traditional security model. You know, it's leaving standard network boundaries. It's leaving your traditional edge security, your firewalls, your network boundaries. It's leaving all of that behind. And I don't necessarily want to say that those things are obsolete, because they still have their place in today's environments. But the reality is that kind of castle and moat type security architecture, it's out there for threats and for threat vectors that have evolved and are no longer just traditionally outside of your network boundary. And so because those threat vectors and that threat model has evolved, the concepts behind those traditional security architectures and principles, they don't apply anymore. And so what Zero Trust really isn't, it's not trusted devices. It's not trusted networks. It's not trusted location. It's not traditional endpoint protection. And it's not traditional network protection, things like firewalls. And at the end of the day, it's not one single thing. I mean, people are looking for this panacea, this unicorn in terms of what Zero Trust is. And what it isn't is it's not that. There's no Zero Trust in a box. There's no single solution that you can get that says, this is going to provide you with Zero Trust. And so having said that, talking about what it really isn't, let's talk about what Zero Trust is. For Zero Trust, it's such an interesting concept, and it's so ubiquitous out there now. Everyone kind of has their own definition of what Zero Trust is, and every definition in its own way is actually correct, and they're each as right as the other. But how I look at it, it's really kind of Zero Trust is kind of a change in the mindset and the philosophy when it comes to securing an enterprise. It's, you know, we're moving away from those traditional security concepts. We're moving away from that edge boundary kind of viewpoint of what security is.
Sure.
And we're focusing more on things like identity. Identity is really the new perimeter when it comes to security. And Zero Trust is really focusing on identity and on identity governance. And to me, what that includes is it's all about identity lifecycle management. And this is specifically surrounding concepts like the joiner, mover, leaver, which is when people join the company. It's when they transition within the company from the role they were originally hired for to a new position with new responsibilities. And then the leaver, when people leave the company. Zero Trust is all about continual verification, continual assessment of users. It's about things like role-based access controls, so ensuring that permissions are bound by job responsibilities and separation of duty. It's about the principle of least privilege, making sure that users have the permissions to do what they need to do, nothing more, nothing less. It's also about things like just-in-time permissioning, which I think is also a critical component of this. It's making sure that permissions are granted, but they're approved before they're granted, they're appropriate, and they're time-bound.
All right. And in putting this into the federal government context, where is the government at this point, and where do you think it should be headed, or where is it headed?
So the future of Zero Trust is a really interesting concept, and we could spend a lot more time, I think, than we have to really kind of go over where Zero Trust is headed. But to start with, Zero Trust has kind of reached this nexus point. It's this concept that everybody knows about. Everybody has an idea of what it is, what it isn't, and everybody has a definition for it. And I think we're kind of, you know, as it's almost kind of like with the whole Ready Player One thing, we've reached level two when it comes to Zero Trust, because we're starting to get into those implementations. We're starting to look beyond the horizon for what Zero Trust is going to be. And so for me, I think there's a few core concepts that come into where Zero Trust is headed. The first is we need to have a set of standards. In other areas, we have NIST, we have CMMC, we have CISA, who is trying to come up with a set of standards, but it's still somewhat nebulous. And so we need to have a framework where enterprises know what they need to do in order to achieve a specific level of zero trust and have a compliance that goes along with that framework. Secondly, we need to, for lack of a better word, I'm going to say we need to kind of decomplexify what zero trust is and what our environments are. When you have conversations with people about their network architectures, it very quickly gets incredibly complex because they have all these different applications, these different networks, these different transports, all of these different things that are working together in order to make the network work. And so we need to make sure that there's more understanding amongst the IT teams about how the environment is configured. We need to, we need to try and reduce the number of vendors that are in the environments because you have too many different vendors that are trying to work and play well together. With that, you have an increase in devices. With an increase in devices, you have an increase in complexity and in the opportunity for vulnerabilities to be there and for zero days to be there. And then finally, this is true whether you're on-prem or in the cloud. We can't talk about zero trust without really talking about AI and ML. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are going to take a giant leap forward. And we need to make sure that as systems are being deployed, they have AI built in, and they need to be able to quickly learn and understand who and what should have access. And then there's also going to be a focus on distributed architectures. And you know, as of right now, we as an industry have really been focused on data, where data is stored, and that and mostly that storage being in a central location. We're moving away from that model. We're becoming much more decentralized, much more distributed. And so we're going to have new and improved security standards that will be developed in order to further protect data as it moves away from those central repositories.
And one point I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned the more devices there are, and agencies are always talking about how there's a proliferation of devices. Everybody of their users has more than one device. And you mentioned that increases the chances of zero-day threats. That's also true of vendors, too. The more vendors, the more tools you have, the more complex your environment, but also the more vulnerable you are because of all the vulnerabilities those vendors bring, fair to say?
Absolutely. And so we were actually looking at this from different perspectives. I was looking at it from an internal IT perspective at the enterprise level. So the more devices, whether it's routers, whether it's switches, whether it's servers, whatever it is on your network, increases that complexity and increases the ability for those things to be introduced. At the same time, individuals and end users have more and more devices they're connecting to the network as well. And so when you start thinking about all of those extra devices, those zero trust principles that we've been describing come even more into play because you never really know who's at the other end of that device. And so having the ability to do that continual assessment, that can do that continual verification, that's how you continue to improve your security stance for your environment.
You almost have to take the ops methodology to admittance to the network, just as you have a DevSecOps, almost a pipeline approach.
Absolutely. And you know, to that point, DevSecOps is going to be, that's part of the future of zero trust as well. And making sure that as we continue to go through those development processes, secure by design has to be a part of the development process.
Active Directory, this comes up a lot because the way that people are identified, you know, is still Active Directory, whether it's cloud or still operated on premises. And does that product and that utility still have a role, do you think, in the future of zero trust?
Absolutely. You know, Active Directory, in spite of the drive, or maybe perhaps because of the drive towards cloud, it's still the primary identity repository for agencies and enterprises, and it 100% needs to be protected. Zero trust principles, they need to be applied to Active Directory as well. And everything that we've already spoken about, whether it's role-based access controls, whether it's least privilege, you know, whether it's privileged access management, and things we haven't even spoken about, things like auditing and visibility into what's happening in your Active Directory, you know, simplifying your Active Directory environments. We talk about simplifying networks and simplifying architectures. Active Directory should be simplified as well. You don't want to have this AD sprawl out there. So consolidating your Active Directories, reducing your threat surfaces, and then finally making sure that you have things like full recoverability of your Active Directory. Those things are all part of the zero trust equation, and they are critical for Active Directory because, as you mentioned, it's still being used for authentication and for authorization, not only for on-premises environments, which are still very prevalent in, you know, out in the landscape, but because most agencies and enterprises are configuring their cloud infrastructure in hybrid configurations. They're connecting their on-premises Active Directory to their cloud environments and then using Active Directory as a source of authority for access into those cloud environments. And so if you're not protecting your Active Directory environment, your cloud environment becomes vulnerable as well. And so having those zero trust principles applied to your Active Directory environment, it's critical. And, you know, for better or worse, Active Directory is not going anywhere. It's still going to be around for a while. It's still going to be the primary source of authentication and authorization. It's still going to be your identity repository. And so irrespective of whether you're moving to the cloud, you want to move to the cloud, or you would just want to have Active Directory, it's going to be core to the zero trust architectures moving forward.
And just a final question. I mean, everything you've said seems to mitigate toward the idea of decomplexity and lowering inventories of vendors and devices. And the more simple you get, I would think not only are you easier to achieve zero trust, but maybe it's also a easier pathway to modernization when you start with a less complex base.
Absolutely. And it's not just that it's an easier path to modernization. It is the path to modernization. Active Directory, I mean, it's been around for a long time. It's 2023. We're about to roll into 2024. So we're looking at close to 24 years of Active Directory and Active Directory growth, and not just growth in terms of Active Directory itself for enterprises, but starting with NT 4.0, people migrated to Windows 2000 and Active Directory and then have continued to grow from there. And so the more that you can do to reduce your kind of footprint with Active Directory, it's the same thing with everything else. Smaller, simpler, better.
Eric Weiss is the Senior Tech Executive for Quest Software Public Sector. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
For more information on Zero Trust, please visit questpublicsector.com. You've been listening to GovIT from TD SYNNEX Public Sector. We'll be back soon with more public sector IT content. I'm Tom Temin.